Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are going old school format here.
I like
Screw it, these craft cans. Ooh,
this is a 765. It's got the little bunt in the bottom.
Okay.
Then you present it like a champagne bottle.
The shrinkflation bump.
Shrinkflation.
That's the in the Gatorade, the bump is bigger now.
Oh. It's fucking 2017 from Goose Island. This is Brasserie Blanc.
All right. A barrel-aged golden ale. A wine barrel-aged golden ale.
Yeah. Fermented with grape juice, aged in wine cask from Goose Island Beer Company. Right here in the city.
Yep. 14
months.
5 years? No. 4 years. No, five.
No, that's 2023.
This 5 years.
2017.
5 years.
Yeah.
It's tasting pretty great.
It's nice. It tastes like wine a little bit. It's 8.3%. It kind of reminds you of the sisters, but without those kind of barnyard flavors or the puckering sourness.
Funk, yeah.
The funk of the sisters.
Right. Feels like a great food kind of beer. You could just have a burger and kind of cut through that like greasiness of those kind of things. I don't remember, I'm sure I had this when it came out, but I don't remember having it. Do you remember it?
It's a good date night beer. I remember this is Brasserie Blanc. They were trying to convince us of this program where it was a barrel-aged program, but it was BCS off-season. So
this was in the high end?
No, this was from Fulton.
Right, but it wasn't part of that high end. Didn't they have the other series that they were calling...
Well, I thought the high end was AB's term for all the breweries they bought.
Oh, okay.
Right? I think that's what the high
that's
end
what
was.
That okay.
Yeah, I forget the name of this series, but it was an off season BCS series that focused on wine or focused on barrel age releases.
Yeah, this just says Goose Island Barrel House. So
yeah.
I don't remember what they were calling that series. Like not the Fulton and Wood because that was a different series.
Yeah, Fulton and Wood was like an innovation thing where they came out every quarter with a new innovative beer. I think the first one was a lager. I don't think this ever caught on because I remember seeing this bottle and I'm like, man, I haven't seen that in a while. And mm-hmm. I'm sure I have it on my phone, but I don't remember. I think I just remember seeing it like when we interviewed, who's the guy we interviewed at Goose? The old brewmaster.
The one from
Wisconsin.
New Glarus, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah, that's terrible. Me too. Oh, but I remember he gave me a bottle once.
Oh, okay.
Of this beer, and when he gave it to me, I remember thinking, man, I haven't seen this beer since it came out. Yeah.
I am okay, and it's fitting that we're drinking this on this episode because towards the end here, we're gonna talk about the new bourbon counties that are being released for this year, the 2023 bourbon counties.
Yeah, man.
So we're going to keep sipping on this and kind of get into this week. I feel like this is a sipper beer. We might make it through this because it does go down fast.
8.3, is this a very nice beer? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you held on to this one.
Yeah. So this past week, I went to Alarmist again.
Oh, right on. Right.
Hung out there this time rather than just running in and grabbing beer to go. Hung out there for a little bit, had the Bangarang, had a... Midwest Lager,
the royalty,
award-winning one, and then
I think is like a corn lager, I think.
Yeah, and then they had some Right Bee cider on, so I had one of those.
Right on. right beside her. Do they? I wonder, do they have a space? I just kind of see them around town.
I think they do.
Okay.
And I forget, and I feel like I should hit it up sometime, but I always forget about it.
Yeah. I might pop in there and have a cider. Right beside her.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, better than the mead, right?
Mead's a little too much. Yeah. Nice space. A little too much.
Yeah. But we drank that Bangarang on, what, 2 episodes ago now?
Okay.
And that was the Sketchbook Alarmist collaboration.
That's right. Yeah.
So it was nice to have it on draft. Tasty. Uh-huh. Nothing else too crazy happening at Alarmist. They've often had a lot of beers on. This seemed like a little bit of a dialed back menu than they had in the past.
Yeah.
Still some good offerings. And always a good hang.
That's one of the closer breweries to you. Or is it?
It's
or
like
you just like going there?
3.3 miles. I just like going there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because you could probably get to Half Acre in the same time. That's my barometer because that's like a very northern brewery.
Yeah. It's probably about the same. A little over 3 miles.
Okay. Yeah. No, I do like Alarmist. I don't get over there enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, last time I was there, Gary happened to be there.
Oh, nice. So I haven't seen him there in a while, so. Yeah. Damn.
They were saying that the cooler, the to-go cooler for all the cans, that came from Beta Bro.
Oh, interesting. All comes back to Beta Bro, doesn't it? The Beta Bro or Argus, at some point, Nick will mention that.
Those were, man, when I first got into beer, man, we partied a lot with those guys. Those were my guys.
Yeah. So that was my only stop. I went to Alarmist like 2 weeks in a row now. I need to get out there.
You know,
explore this great state of ours.
It's tough, man, because, you know, 3 miles, you know, you go 5 miles, it might take an hour. It takes me an hour to come back home from downtown and during rush hour. So
I did 3 miles on the bike. I try to, if I'm going to a city place, uh-huh, I will try to do bike.
It's probably better, you know?
Yeah. For your health and...
And it fucking, you fuck around and get there faster.
Yeah, you get there faster. Better for your health. You better know? For the environment. It's all, yeah.
It's better all around, man. You were in the city. I left the city. Still Cook County, though, I think. I was in Elk Grove Village.
Okay.
Up at a microphone.
Nice. Yeah,
it was their...
Smells
like a Bean Spirit Festival, which I think is their flagship stout. I don't think the... I think the... I know it's a coffee stout with maple syrup.
Okay.
I think the OG is not barrel-aged, but then there are a bunch of barrel-aged versions of it.
And this came later than when they did the Dark Lord Fest, right? The pre-day? Or was this that fest that's been moved around now?
I was thinking about, you think about FOBAP maybe? Maybe their mini FOBAP thing?
I thought they did a thing, was it like a Dark Lord Day, but it was like lagers or something? Who did that?
Oh, yeah. It's funny because this was a topic at the party.
Oh shit. Okay.
So, no, you're right.
Was that microphone?
Right. So microphone used to brew at, it was on the west side, like 31st and Cicero by Home Run Inn. It was Slapshot space.
Okay.
So there were 4 breweries in there. It was Microphone, Slapshot, Twisted Hippo.
Spiteful?
No. Maybe. But there was definitely 4.
Pipeworks?
No, it definitely wasn't Pipeworks. But we'll say it was those 4.
Okay.
But they would throw this kind of anti-Dark Lord party. So they got this super hard to find beer called the Dark Lord. So we'll make a beer and call it the Pale Pauper. It's the exact opposite of the Dark Lord. Yeah, and they even went as far as like, it was like a hoppy pale ale. But they went as far as to wax the bottom of the can, you know, kind of like the way Dark Lord was waxed.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that, when Microphone left to start their own space, that Pale Pauper party eventually became Smells Like a Bean Spirit.
Okay.
So that is the origins of this party.
Right.
It's funny
so
you say that, yeah.
It used to be closer to Dark Lord Day, and I figure like dates, especially with COVID and everything, dates have just been moved all over the place, so...
It doesn't look like it started at all. Yeah, because it was the same weekend as Dark Lord Day for people who couldn't go to Dark Lord Day or didn't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, so, and then this, if I get this right, man, I remember this. Well, I remember buying a ticket to this party a few years ago, and Brown Paper Tickets jerked me over, and I couldn't get my refund, so I had to, you know, I had to tattletale and tell my credit card. That
That's right. That was the, I think that might have been the COVID year.
I think so.
The first year of everything, and they were like, "We're canceling this."
Right. So then you end up with the cups, and it was a massive street party. So this was dialed back. You didn't need a ticket. It was just that microphone, and they invited some of their friends that they, you know, the cool kid breweries from around the country that do similar stuff as far as like really good with adjuncts, and they really focus on, you know, sick hazies, you know, fruit of sours, fucking adjunct heavy kind of pastry inspired stouts.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So those breweries of like mind.
Okay.
From around the country, maybe like 10 of them.
I think the no ticket thing is the better way to go for all of these events. Like if there's a line to get in, oh well, but don't have a ticket and deny people the chance to go that might change it up or have something come up and you're having to plan all this stuff around that event or even Dark Lord Day. It's like, you got enough space. Just let people come in. You're going to charge them for your event and the drinks. Just mark up the drinks.
Yeah. So this was, I enjoyed this because, let me see if you, I'm actually out of the loop on some of these breweries, man. Because, you know, so the first
but these are from around the country, right?
Right. So the first thing I got was King Sue from Toppling Goliath.
Okay.
Because it was one I knew.
Know and, them. Got them. And, check. I don't know. I'm real bad lately. I feel like I've even, we got the show, but I've fallen off on some of the Illinois breweries. I'm like, what?
For sure. Now, we know Bottle Logic because they do well, and Well Works.
Yeah.
You know, we know those guys. Forager, we've heard of them. Barntown is a guy who used to own a bar in Illinois that left and went to, like, Iowa.
Okay.
Lua Brewing. I don't know if you remember we were talking to Alice Lovingood at FOBAT one year, and he named a brewery in Iowa. I believe it was Lua.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Drecker. Zuul, which is spelled X-U-L.
No.
Civil Society. Yeah, see, I don't know Zuul or Parish. I don't know Zuul, Parish, or Civil Society.
Parish, I don't know why. Sounds familiar. Where are they at?
Let's see, Parish. My guess is like Louisiana or something, but I have no
idea. That's why I'm like, if they're in Louisiana, I feel like I've had them in New Orleans. Isn't it? Facts checks.
Yeah, where's Parish Brewing, man? Oh, yeah, Louisiana.
Okay.
Browser, Louisiana.
Then I've had them in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
don't remember what I've had, but I've had them.
Yeah. Zuul is Knoxville. Civil Society is, it's tough because we, like, just like you just said, it's like, I feel like I know more than I also know less. Civil Society is also in Florida. Mm. Jupiter. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I was telling Brad in the pre-show, I started my day at, Wicker Park Fest. So I didn't go when this thing started. So by the time I got there, Biker Dude was already just back hanging out, drinking the Miller High Life.
Okay.
You know, and then a lot of these breweries, a lot of the cool stuff, a lot of the stuff that the nerds went to go get was already gone. Okay. So I just drank whatever was left, you know. Just like, I'll have the Toppling Goliath. I never get that anymore.
Sure, yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. Oh, but I did try the four versions of Bean Spirit.
Okay.
Yeah. One of them was a Peerless.
What kind of beer is... Smells like
Bean Smells Spirit. Like Bean Spirit is a is an imperial stout with like Vermont maple syrup and coffee from Tugboat.
Okay.
I think Tugboat is in Addison, Illinois, which is out in that general direction somewhere. Yeah. So it's a coffee stout. It's a breakfast coffee stout.
Okay. And so then the variants are
all barrel aged.
All barrel aged.
Yeah. So one was in an absinthe barrel that previously held rye whiskey and absinthe. There's one that was 17 months in, like, Pappy barrels. And then there's just an OG that was aged for a year in, like, Buffalo Trace barrels or something.
Okay.
Yeah, that absinthe one was wacky. If you like licorice or if you like Fernet Branca, then that one was for you.
Okay.
This was an insane profile. I was like, yo, this is too advanced for me. I mean, I wanted to try it because it tricks you. It says Bean Spirit single barrel. So I'm thinking, oh, single barrel. Let me get that one. And then you look a little more. You read the whole description. I'm like, oh, shit, this is a absinthe rye barrel-aged one.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. I know we're drinking a barrel-aged beer. We often talk about these Deep Woods beers that we have on the table. We're going to talk about the Bourbon County. And then you have these variants. Are there too many barrel-aged beers? Like, is it like a crutch of like, I'm going to brew a beer and put it in a different barrel? I don't really do anything different. It's like, I brewed a beer and put it in Tupperware, and this one's in a plastic bag. Like, is there...
We're not supposed to use Tupperware. Apparently it leaks toxins.
Yeah. Yeah. Use the glass ones.
Gotta go get Pyrex.
Yeah. But is it... Like, is it almost just like a thing you do now, and it's not all that interesting?
There's a couple points here. I think they call out these barrels sometimes when... So, like, they're a place that can sell... they have a license where they can sell bottles of liquor to go. So they go down to these places and get a single barrel, and then they sell that. Like, you can buy a bottle of this booze at this brewery.
Okay. Right?
So I think some of it is, hey, let's highlight our relationship with these guys that we got all this liquor from, and let's put this beer in that barrel. I think some of it is that, but I think some of it is, hey, I got my hands on a really cool barrel. I just want to highlight it, regardless of, you know, whoever else is doing it. I got a chance to do this. Let's do it. Let's put the cool description out. Let's put a cool barrel and some beer in it and fucking see how it comes out.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. I mean,
as someone who doesn't, I enjoy bourbon. You are more into like the whole scene than I am. So I don't care that like we're going to talk about them. I'm stressing this. We're going to talk about these bourbon counties. It's like, I don't care that this is a old Fitz barrel that does nothing for me versus it could be, oh, it's a Whistlepig barrel. It's a this barrel. I was like, what? So is it, am I tasting something different here? Probably not.
I think if you're at a distillery, and you don't have to be at a distillery, but if you're at a distillery and you try different barrels, even though it's the exact same stuff with the exact same barrels, they're going to taste different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some, you know, this one might taste like cherry cola. And you're like, well, why the fuck does it taste like cherry cola? We're putting this one to the side and we're selling it. We're not blending it. We're not going for a
profile.
So that thing exists, right? But that's not with just Source Whiskey. That's at FOBAB. You know, that's what the Crowley and Jess Burrow will tell you.
Yeah.
Hey, we got the exact same beer, the exact same barrels, but they're totally different. So there is, I guess I do, to answer your question, I guess I do believe in still there is some magic in different barrels.
I understand that.
But what you're saying is like, goddamn, every single brewery has a barrel, and there is no barrel season. It's all coming out.
Right. And do I remember the last barrel-aged beer I went and had somewhere? I'm having another one right now. Am I going to remember, oh, this was these kind of wine barrels in like 2 weeks?
Right.
It starts to be like, there's a lot of barrels, man. There's a lot of different kinds of barrels. You're kind of just coming, who does a better job of barrel-aging beer?
Whose beer came out best from this barrel?
Yeah.
Whose beer came out the best? Because even when we do it, sometimes we'll play a game called Fix the Dark Lord, you know? Dark Lord on its own, not that great. You go get five of your whiskeys, you know, just go half and half, and just shoot Dark Lord with each one of these whiskeys. And you're like, holy fuck, it does change. It changes drastically. Even a whiskey that's amazing on its own might not be the best in a dark liquor. Like, for example, there is a High West. It's like a High West fucking $25 bottle of whiskey. That was the best. I'm talking against Buffalo Trace. We even threw some Hennessy in there. Just Stag Junior, like some very expensive bottles of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
But the High West, I think the High West Rye was the best compliment for that. So that's what it is. It's like, who figured out that their beer goes best in this barrel? That's
what but you're they're just getting these barrels and hoping for the best. It's like they don't get to test it like in that sense. They're like, well, yeah, I want these old Fitz barrels. Nah, you can't have those. Like, but that's our beer. It's the best in there. No, those are gone.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It ends up being a guessing game.
I don't know where I... Yeah, I think I had a better point in my head, but it was just like, there's just a lot of barrel-aged beer. Yeah,
if that's your point, I agree with that.
And it's like...
I agree with that.
Like, not that it's neat to try. Like, I love trying all these different things, but... I don't know, when it's a variant of four different ones, just different barrels, it's like, eh.
I think that's what Goose is learning, right? Like, 2 years in a row, they came out with these... look at us, we got deep pockets. We got the coolest barrels than anyone's ever had.
Yeah.
For 2 years in a row, they came out with that, and they kind of, how interested were people in those? Like, that's a very, is very nuanced.
Right. You know? And there's a group of people that are into that.
Right.
And they're going, they're going to try that, but that's not enough people to make, sell enough Bourbon County.
Yeah, I think it plays better on draft, that stuff. We got super cool barrels. Let's put them all on draft. So I was excited. So like, I don't even know if I had an option to buy the bottles that day. But I hadn't thought once about it. I was like, it's cool that I get to try these all on draft, and then that's all I need.
Sure.
You know, I don't need a whole bottle of these. Yeah, because
if you had a bottle, you're drinking one day, one the next day, and you may not even compare them.
I'm putting a lot of pressure on this bottle to be good too, because it's probably expensive. And then I'm taking this time to open it, and I'm like, oh, I got this special fucking bottle. And now I'm kind of taking it out of context of what it's meant to be, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm putting too much pressure on it. Like, I'm mad that it ain't
the best thing I've ever had. Yeah, so I'm with you. I'd rather have them in the 6-8 ounce pours.
Yeah.
At an event, at the brewery. Like, it's like having, we were joking, I think, on the last episode of Bourbon County, or one of these places to do different fruits.
Yeah.
And then you get to see which fruit. Like that. A long time ago, I went to that Deep Woods, and they were testing things. And it's like, that was fun to try all these different ideas.
Yeah. I think when you brought up the point about barrels, I think what I agree with what you're saying is, like, it plays way better, these barrel tastings, in a communal space on draft with a bunch of people, so we can do exactly what you're doing. All fuss over them all at one time. It's still cool for that.
Right. But alone in your house, having I'm using this old Fitz one because it's here. It's like having that by yourself, and you're like,
that's a pretty good beer.
Right. You know, that is a very good beer. But then you're just like, I got no one to tell that this was good.
Yeah, that's funny. We're approaching the point where, God, I can't believe we're going on and on about this fucking mess. But with the comment we made the other day about how, you know, barrels are hit or miss. No, barbecue. We're talking about barbecue.
Yeah.
Like, barbecue is hit or miss in this town. There's so many people throwing stuff in barrels that barrels nowadays are hit and miss in this town. Barrel-aged beers might be hit or miss now.
Yeah, we got to that point with hazy beers, right?
Yeah.
Like, just because you're making it a hazy beer doesn't make it a better beer.
Yeah.
And
I was out, like, one of the guys commented that he was in love with the rye. The rye absinthe barrel from Peerless. Peerless is a great distillery. They got these absinthe barrels. They stuck a rye in there. Microphone puts their beer in that barrel. I'm like, this fucking thing is out of control. This is not for me.
Okay.
But then some other guys were like, yo, this is the best thing they have. So, it's weird.
Yeah.
So I was out on the single barrel. I think just the OG is all you need, man. All
right.
Just a year in a barrel with all those adjuncts. All the other stuff was cool to try. None of it was good at the OG.
Okay.
That's
good to hear. It's like when you hear talk about Dark Lord, regular Dark Lord's not good, but the variants are better. It's like, if your main one isn't good and you need to put it in other things to make it better, that's something's wrong there.
Yeah, that's why I'd love to talk to the Floyd's guys, man. Because it might be the jokes on us, right? And they kind of know, because they know how to make beer.
Yeah.
So they're just having fun at our expense, it seems like.
But regular Bourbon County, great.
Yeah.
You put in other things, okay. We're not like, that one sucks. Well, I'm glad you put it in these barrels because you made it better.
Yeah. At some point, we got to acknowledge that the OG Bourbon County is, you know, top of the line.
Yeah.
It's top of the line for barrel-aged stuff. They don't fuck with it, and it's good every time out. Yeah.
That's good to hear. But then you were out on some barrel-aged stuff, and you decided you needed just a lager?
Yeah, man. You know, Itasca, Illinois is like, I don't know, 15 minutes from, this is all on the other side of O'Hare.
Yeah.
So Itasca is 15 minutes from fucking Elk Grove Village. So I'm like, dude, might as well go to Church Street and see what the fuck's going on. I know nothing about Church Street. All I know is that the god Ricky Cervantes from Foreign Exchange was brewing there.
Okay.
That's the only thing I know
about. And Chet Brett.
And my man Chet Brett.
Used to work there for like a long time.
That's right. Chet Brett was the Gwinnett Brand Ambassadors. Yeah.
And Church Street Contracts brews a lot of beer that you're probably having and not realizing.
Skeleton Key, Energy City. Yeah, we talked about foreign exchange, and I'm missing one.
And so you had never been.
I had never been to this place. I passed it. It's like off in a industrial mall, industrial complex. The whole neighborhood is like in industrial buildings. Like, so.
It's been a long time since I've gone, and I've, you know, I kick around going, and I'm like, eh, if I'm going to go, I'll just go somewhere farther. Yeah. So I just haven't gone.
Yeah. It's because it's kind of remote. It's Itasca. Like, I don't know shit about Itasca, and it's just kind of this sleepy town. The only reason you're there is because there's a brewery there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You go into this place, and you've been. It's a ridiculously big and wide space, you know. They got the little kitchen. They've got, there's a bar, and then behind the bar is like a kind of a private party area. Yeah, and it just goes and goes for days. It's a very big space.
Mm-hmm. But you have to go through the space if you need to use the bathroom.
Yeah, you got to go back past the to-go coolers and kind of walk through some of the packaging area to get to the bathrooms. This lady at the bar was telling us that they're fucking in six different states. Right.
So, is Illinois one of them? Illinois. Because I don't see Church Street anywhere.
Sure enough, you look it up, they're in all the surrounding states plus Florida. Yeah. So all of the Big Ten, Midwest states, and Florida. So they're technically in six states.
I think we had on the Pod One episode, we had the Heavenly.
Heavenly, is that the Hellas?
Heavenly Hellas, I think, one time.
Yeah, I think that's what I had. It came in the dimpled mug. I was a big fan of that. And then I had a Belgian triple. Okay. So I was surprised. I'm not surprised, like I had low expectations, but I was like, man, these are both really good.
Mm-hmm. You would hope for a contract brewery, they're also brewing good beer themselves. So.
Right. So then she kind of, this is just a lady behind the bar. She's like, the owner's here, but I didn't get a chance to talk to the owner. But she kind of made it sound like they started out as a contract brewer. Like that was their whole vision.
Oh.
Was to be a hub for other breweries to come brew at.
Okay.
Which, and then when you look at how big the space is, I'm like, well, yeah.
That kind of makes sense.
This is a go big or go home operation here, man. This is a very big space.
Okay.
So, so that was cool. You can sit inside, or you can go around the back, and around the back they have these pergolas, and then they have these big Adirondack chairs, and you know, it's just a ton of space. It's like a big field, like a big farm field.
Okay.
And you can just sit back there and chill, or you can chill inside. But they're so close to the airport that if you sit outside, all these planes start landing.
Yeah.
So it's actually a very neat scene.
That's cool. Yeah. I wish there was a couple other breweries back there. Like, there's no breweries in Schaumburg. Like, why is there no breweries in Schaumburg? For how big and like a kind of corporate event thing Schaumburg is, there's no brewery. There's nothing like right around there. There's a, it's like Arlington Heights. There's no brewery there. Like, what's...
Yeah, you're right.
What's going on?
Or wherever Woodfield Mall is. That's probably back to Schaumburg. Yeah, you're right. You're more likely to get a beer-focused bar, a bar chain, than you are breweries. Closest thing you got is like Crust and Rosemont.
Right, or Short Fuse.
Or Short Fuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or this place, which wasn't bad, you know, because you can get to O'Hare pretty quick, and if you get to O'Hare, then you're back in the city in no time.
Right.
So it's not crazy far. I liked it.
Nice.
Food was fine. It was just your standard bar food.
Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't know that they brewed, contract brewed for all those people. And that they run.
Could you buy those beers there?
No. There's no indication that anyone else brews here.
Why? Like, Great Central, they're selling the other people's beers.
Yeah.
So it's surprising that they wouldn't also carry some of those other people's beers.
Right. That's why this whole thing... I'd like to know more about this whole thing that they...
If you wanted to be a contract brewer, why are you hiding it?
Yeah, because when you go there, it's Church Street, and that's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. Like, this other stuff we do, I feel like that other stuff is incidental.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah, we happen to have a space, so, you know, and these people are near... These people aren't that far from us, so we brew their stuff.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Okay.
But
damn. All right. So, a few little spots this past week. In the news front, we had a brewery close. Low Res.
Low Res was down in Pilsen?
Yeah, they had a pretty big space. I think the last time both of us had their beer, or you might have had it at an auto show, Friday Night Flights, right?
It's very possible.
last time I remember having it was the Friday night flights at the beach.
That's right. Yeah, that was a good hang, man.
I biked fucking down there.
Yeah, that's insane. This is like 31st Street.
Yeah.
We just ride Lakeshore the whole way?
Yeah, just took the path.
All right.
That's far. But that was the last time I had their beer, and I was like, oh, I forgot how fun your guys' labels are. You're making some pretty interesting beers.
Yeah.
But they had a post, basically, they were a COVID casualty. They took out more loans during COVID, and they just wasn't working out.
Yeah. It sounds like it's hard to sell beer with so many options. And then if you, even if you have, because if you go too wide, too fast, then the people you, your first clients, if they run out and you don't have their stuff right away, they might go get another brewery.
Right.
And never buy your stuff again, right?
That's true.
And then what are you going to do? You're going to wait on them to run out, or are you going to keep selling to as many people as you can? I guess it might be tricky. I don't sell beer, but I mean, I imagine this is, you know, it's just hard.
Right.
People are closing. Pilsen, you, they get kind of lost down there in Pilsen because, well, Lulu's down there. At one time, Moody Tongue was over there. And Low Res.
Okay, and then the possible, the Spanish.
You're talking about the guys, Five Rabbit?
Five Rabbit.
Okay.
There was the rumors of them opening the space.
That's right. That's right.
But that's been now rumors for 5 years.
Right.
So that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Pilsen is, well, the name, you know, is like got roots in like Europe, but Pilsen modern day is kind of like a, what is it, like Latin?
Yeah.
Latino.
Latinx.
Yeah. Thing. It's a Latin, it's a Latinx community. Yeah. Right. It's a lot of it's a lot of that down there. So where does that sit in, like, are they connecting with the people around them is what I'm asking.
Yeah, so Lil Rez must not have. Lulu, I think, is, it's a restaurant kinda not far from the main strip of things. Lil Rez was a little farther removed. So I think it didn't, it wasn't just on your path if you're like hanging out in Pilsen.
That's true, because if you're at if you're, if you do that main strip down there where they do all the festivals, you, at the end of that strip, the Lulu's like basically right there.
Yeah.
And a Lulu's also a restaurant, so it happens to be a brewery, but they're a full blown restaurant.
Yeah.
So yeah, so yeah, that's too bad. I mean, but what, 2016, 2017, right?
Is that for, when they started?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a pretty good run. I do remember
this beer's almost older than them.
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah. So no more Low Res. I went there once.
I was there once or twice. So were we the problem?
You know, Brad, instead of, you know, going to the suburbs, if you were going to Low Res, they might still be around.
I got to make sure Alarmist stays around. I can't make sure everyone stays around. I got to
do so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. But, you know, you bring up a good point, because on this show, we talk all the time about how, hey, you go to the people you like or you go to the people closest to you, right?
Right.
So I wonder if people who were closest to them, proximity-wise, people who live out there,
they weren't going,
right? I wonder what their take is on this, right? Because they are the ones that would keep it afloat, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday kind of deal, right? Off-hours kind of deal, right? It wouldn't be us coming from the other side of town.
Yeah, know? Like, I would say, like, Aris is pretty close to where I'm living. I don't really go to Aris, and so that's, if they closed, they would sort of, like, not, it's directly my fault, but, like, I wasn't supporting.
Loose keys, it's his fault.
I wasn't supporting this brewery. Yeah. That was basically in my backyard, so.
It's tough out here, man. There's fucking 10,000 breweries or some shit.
In the country?
Yeah, it's tough.
Over 300 in the, or it's like 370 in Illinois? In the
state, yeah. So, you know, it, like we were saying, it used to be, craft breweries, and the enemy was big beer. So if you're going to take a handle, you're trying to take a handle from a big brewery. Now it's like you're trying to take anybody's handle, right?
Right.
Cause like, I need space.
If you go to a place, they might have one of the macros on, like a Bud Light maybe, or a Miller, but I don't even see that. And I, you know, I'm not going to like Sluggers or something. So, but I don't see it, like a Lone Wolf doesn't have Bud Light on.
Yeah.
Or even Modella or anything like that. So
I wish there could be a way that places like Low Res could penetrate these things. Like, the part of the reason I left Wicker Park and went to Talking Microphone is because I don't like the beer. That was all Bud and AB shit, you know? And I'm just like, what the fuck? You know, I'm at a fest where we're highlighting everything's local. The music, the arts and crafts, the restaurants, everything's local. And I only got...
The drinks aren't.
You know what I'm saying? All I got is one brew to pick from. I'm like, what the fuck? So I wish there was more people like... If Low Res was in a spot like that, through no fault of their own, it ain't their fault they weren't at Wicker Park Fest. But I kind of wish they were in spots like that.
That's a good point, yeah. You know. I don't know who was at... Pitchfork was a couple weekends ago. I don't know what the beer situation there was. I didn't even hear anyone talking about it. I didn't even hear if Goose Island did a Pitchfork beer.
Right. Because last year or 2 years ago was what, Japanese Breakfast?
Yeah.
I don't even know anybody who's at Pitchfork. Well, Killer Mike was there, but...
Okay.
I don't want to see Killer Mike. I want to see Run the Jewels. I don't want to see you alone, sir. You go get LP and DJ A-Track, and then you come back and see me.
It was like, one time I saw D12, and Eminem didn't show up. It was like, what? Come on. Can't. You're not really D12 without Eminem.
That's true. Like, that's ridiculous.
Everyone's here to see that's him, ridiculous. But...
One time Solange was performing, and there was rumors that Beyonce might show up, because she was in town that day. And she did show up, but all she did, they did a little dance number at the end of her set.
Oh,
and
okay.
She bolted out. So that was cool.
Okay.
It was a cool Pitchfork moment.
Nice. All right. It's starting to get a little warm in here, but we got to talk about these Bourbon County 2023 releases.
Yeah, man. Just like that, here we are in August, and Bourbon County is around the corner, Brad.
Right. So what we got... How many variants? 36? No, 48?
Well, last year we had 6 variants.
Oh, okay.
Last year we had 6 variants. This year it scaled back to 5 variants.
Okay.
So there'll be 1 OG and 5 variants. Should we run down the list? I mean...
I'm excited to try OG this year because last year's OG was one of the best Bourbon Counties that there's been in a long time.
Yeah. OG holds its own every year. Mm-hmm. And then they got to get OG right. So they can do all this other weird shit with it, as we're about to find out right here. Let's see. There's a Bourbon County Eagle Rare. That's extended aging. That's a 2-year bourbon barrel aged beer. Then there's an Angel's Envy 2-year cask finish.
Okay, so we have two right off the bat of barrels that you're gonna forget.
Yeah, but they're both 2 years. Compared to the regular 1 year.
Are they calling these dumb things again, like birthday or anniversary or bar mitzvah?
Bourbon County Bar Mitzvah is aged 2 years at Eagle Rare Barrels. No. Eagle Rare. It's just called Bourbon County Eagle Rare. And then the Angel's Envy one is just called Bourbon County Angel's Envy. So that's good.
Okay.
Because that was weird. Because it's like, all
right. Right, because this is just bourbon. This is just old fits.
Yeah.
Right?
That 1 year, they had an anniversary one and a birthday one. And they both came out the same year. And I'm like...
Whose birthday and whose
anniversary? Why the fuck they come out on the same year? Which one's anniversary again? It was very confusing.
Yeah, I think it was
the purple one was...
It was the...
The purple one was birthday. Because it was old fits... No, old Forrester birthday bourbon barrels. So that was birthday.
Right. Was it Old Fitz's birthday?
It was Old Forrester.
Old Forrester's birthday.
The Old Forrester birthday bourbon. See? It's some bullshit.
And then the anniversary was the anniversary of Bourbon County Stout.
And that was Weller Barrels.
Right. But technically, every year is the birthday, anniversary and birthday, right?
It's so fucking confusing.
You have one a year, so.
It's very confusing. Banana Foster's BCS is back. That was prop in 2017. Backyard Rye.
So back. Wait, this is not. If it was prop, this is now a regular one and going national.
Correct.
Okay.
So it's called Bourbon County Bananas Foster Stout.
Okay, so it must have been a hit. Right?
I personally think that was the best prop that there ever was.
Better than last year's.
The banana one.
The bird.
Yeah, the Jungle Bird.
Jungle Bird.
No, banana Foster's.
Yeah. Bird was good.
I think.
I don't remember banana.
I was a big fan of that one. That was good.
Okay.
Backyard, which is the berry one. And then prop,
Okay. Sure. And this is a mixed berry, right?
This is basically mixed berries. So this, the berry one is mulberries, boysenberries, and marionberries.
Okay.
This reminds me of Brett Porter when he was brewmaster. He'd go through this elaborate story about, you know, Nick, we were down on the Kankakee River, and we laid out these blankets, and we shook those mulberry trees. We did this for you. And I'm just like, Brett Porter, you didn't have to do that shit, but this is a great story. You sourced these fucking berries just like you sourced everything else. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You didn't go shake. You didn't go climb a mulberry tree.
But he was so. Contacted Huck Finn. Came up on the Kankakee River on his raft.
He was selling it, man. It was good. I'm like, fucking Brett Porter.
And then what's the prop?
Prop this year is. Stay with me here, Brad. Prop this year is toasted rice, dried fruit, vanilla custard, and warming spices.
Okay. And this is supposed to be a dessert, right? Yeah. Or a...
This is supposed to be rice pudding. This is rice pudding BCS, Brad.
Gross.
We haven't even had it. Why are you saying
that? It's just like, I feel like when someone mentions like they have a rice pudding, I like internally gag. At like the idea of rice pudding. I don't even think I've ever had it. It's just the idea of it.
The idea of it reminds me of baby food. And the ingredients, technically the ingredients are toasted rice, cassia bark, and raisin. Okay. So cassia bark is the cinnamon they like. So this is a toasted rice, cassia bark, raisin, BCS. They could have just made it, or I like horchata.
Oh, yeah, horchata bourbon
County. But now you're getting, but you put these raisins in it. Why would you put raisins in
it? Yeah, that's no one really likes raisins.
I'm not here for raisins.
I think, like, even like trail mix, whatever, raisins are in there, but no one really wants the raisins.
Yeah, you're not getting it for the raisins.
Yeah, raisins are the snack that you give to kids to pretend like it's healthy, but no one really wants raisins.
Yeah, just give me a grape.
Why'd you ruin a good grape?
The grape was fine. And you fucked that up. So yeah, those are your five. Those are your five variants. I am most curious about backyard rye.
Okay. And this is was this done before?
2013.
So these are hits.
Yeah, they're bringing back the hits. Bananas Foster BCS was 2017. Backyard Rye was 2013. And then they're hitting you with a couple of extended aging ones to complement the hits.
Which those probably end up selling fairly well.
Unless they're $50 a bottle again. You know what's interesting about this Angel's Envy one? It's a 2-year cask finish. And it sounds like the first year it's aged in Angel's Envy barrels, but then the second year is aged in port wine barrels.
Hmm.
Because I think that's how OG Angel's Envy is.
Okay.
Angel's Envy, I think, spends some of its life in wine cask.
So. Interesting. Okay. I'm excited for the Banana Foster's because I haven't had it. I don't remember having it at the prop.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to try it here now, but...
Eagle Rare might be good. Eagle Rare is mash bill 1 over at Buffalo Trace. It's the same mash bill as Buffalo Trace, where Buffalo Trace, I think, is an 8-year product and Eagle Rare is a 10-year product.
Okay.
So that ought to be good. Tight lineup. They didn't fuck around with the fancy barrels as much. They're giving you two of the hits and they got less variance.
Right.
So I'm in this year. Now, I agree with you. On paper, Bourbon County prop sounds crazy. Rice pudding BCS sounds ridiculous.
Right.
But what if it tastes like horchata? Now I might be back in.
Yeah.
Because it's got rice in it. So.
Yeah. If it's less raisin taste.
If you dial back the raisin, it might work. But because horchata's got rice and cinnamon.
What do you get from putting raisins? Like, is there a raisin flavor? Raisins are like a... kind of getting a grape, but you're just getting like a texture.
Yeah, like things don't have...
they don't taste like raisins.
Right. Yeah. Even if it's like a golden raisin, it even tastes less like a raisin. Things don't taste... yeah.
Like a chocolate-covered raisin. The raisin's just there as like a pretend. Like... Don't worry. There's some fruit.
The raisin is the vehicle. Right, yeah. The raisin is the vehicle. It ain't going to taste like a raisin. It's going to taste mostly like chocolate.
Right.
I don't get it. But I'm excited about this because they'll sit down and tell you everything you ever wanted to know. They'll go on and on for an hour about this shit when we hang out with them.
I guess if they invite us.
Why wouldn't they invite us?
I don't know.
Because they're fucking...
Because we're like, raisins?
They're like, yeah. Get out of here. Switch this list up.
Okay.
Let's go invite two more people from Benny's to come.
So this info should be everywhere, which means that this is August, beginning of August, middle of September, tasting then?
Yeah. Late,
right? September.
Late.
And then you have like a month or so. No, it should be late September, early October, right?
Yeah, because I was looking at the 2022 lineup, and yeah, we were all drinking that stuff there. What was the date? It was October 22nd.
Okay. Yeah. But these are all now being packaged or packaged already. And so they're chilling right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So we should hear that. We should get info about prop day probably then.
That's right.
About when that's going to be.
Horchata. They should have just, even if it tastes like a rice pudding, they should have just called it Horchata PCS. Unless, or, you know, because we're in a bubble. We only drink the beers that we drink. Most mm-hmm. people don't drink those beers, not nationwide. So we're kind of...
Horchata beers?
No, I'm talking about this beer. In general, our travels. Okay. We don't know what most people are drinking.
Yeah.
So are people really out here eating rice pudding like that? Like, maybe it's a popular fucking thing and we just don't eat it.
Yeah, how popular is rice pudding?
I don't... That's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know. It ain't more popular than horchata, though, is it?
I don't know. I don't really see horchata. We see a lot.
I mean, yeah. You know, there's a lot of Mexicans here.
But you go to, like, Tennessee, are you more likely to see rice pudding or horchata?
Right. This is baffling because it's not a Tennessee brewery, right?
I guess, yeah.
But you're right. You're right. The people who came up with the thing are probably from Tennessee.
Or, like, they just might not be from...
You know what I mean?
Horchata state.
They just don't have... They're not from an horchata-friendly state. They're like, listen, I'm from here where we eat rice pudding, right. So...
They're like, we drink horchata.
Like, I don't even know what the fuck horchata is. Oh, my God. It's off the rails, Brad.
All right, let's get out of here. I think we almost...
That was good. I'm glad
I think we finished that almost.
Glad you pulled that out.
All right, Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch.
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
Twitter or X, BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, all X. The places as well. And we'll be back. The next episode will be talking about Oak Park.
Okay. Are we going to Oak Park?
Tuesday.
Let's do it.
We're going to be in Oak Park.
Kind of confirm that, man. Is that confirmed?
I thought it was confirmed. We're going to be at a beer store. Oak Park Microbrew Fest is Oak Park Microbrew Review is about 2.5 weeks away.
Shit.
So it's coming up.
Summer's almost over, man.
Is that the last fest of the summer?
Right. That and Great Taste. But locally, right? I think you just slip right into Oktoberfest season after Oak Park.
Yeah, then we'll be going doing our Oktoberfest ride to 312 Day.
Oh, man. God help us all.
Take care.
Cheers.